Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Indocom Industries Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. K.R. Lalpuria, Executive Director and CEO of Indocom Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to all of you to the Indocom Industries Q1 FY23 earnings call. I hope you and your family are keeping safe and healthy. I have with me Mr. Muralidharan, our CFO, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Happy to connect with you all once again to discuss the Q1 FY23 performance. Now, let me start with the industry and business scenario in Q1 FY23. The quarter continues to be impacted by geopolitical concerns, supply chain issues, high inflationary environment, sluggish demand offtake, and an increase in input cost, resulting in a number of challenges for the industry and the company. We have been able to navigate the above challenges on the back of strategies adopted by us towards increased contribution from value-added products and customer centricity. We expect the industry situation to start getting normalized in H2 FY23. About our key markets, inflation remains a key challenge to consumers and will continue to be an issue during FY23. Due to this, consumers are spending on essential products rather than discretionary purchases. However, as per the latest retail sales data by NRF, U.S. retail sales in June 2022 were up 1% from May 2022 and up 8.4% on a YOY basis. The domestic demand for home textile in India is also expected to continue to grow. On the domestic scenario, the Government of India's efforts on the various treaty and FTA agreements and the continuation of RoSCTL will help us further to move ahead and be a reliable and credible supplier to the global textile market. In view of China Plus One strategy, we believe the Indian textile industry's long-term growth prospects remain unchanged. Now, the future outlook. We believe the downward trend in prices for the new cotton season, easing of supply chain issues, and measures taken by the respective governments to tackle inflation will be the key factors helping the revival of demand over the medium term. We anticipate that the forthcoming holiday season will also relieve the inventory backlog from the system. Our company's performance. During the quarter, we saw various developments. The first one is the acquisition of home textile business of GHCL Limited. We have successfully completed the acquisition of home textile business of GHCL Limited, thus making us the largest global home textile bed linen company. As expected, the integration between the two units has taken place seamlessly. We expect the consolidation synergies to reflect once volumes start to pick up. Focus on brands B2C, D2C, and value-added products. We are strategically moving towards value-added products, which is a better margin and value proposition business. Our partnership with Jasper Conran for an exclusive bed and bath collection has been launched successfully in the international market. Also, enhancing our domestic presence through the various digital marketplaces and advancing towards B2C and D2C segments through high-quality product offerings across varied price points. Our brands Boutique Living and Layers is witnessing good traction in the domestic markets. Now, our ESG initiatives. On the sustainability front, we have adopted a scientific approach towards climate action by joining global campaign led by SBTi, that is Science Based Target Initiatives. We have received approval from SBTi for emission targets in June 22. We will strive to achieve emissions reduction by adapting the sustainable practices across the supply chain and all manufacturing units of the company. Awards and recognition. We are happy to announce that we have been once again awarded the gold trophy by Texcosil in the bed linen category for the year 2020-21. This endorses our global leadership position. Now let me share with you our consolidated financial performance. Kindly note that Q1 FY22 financial includes ROFCTL benefits of rupees 50 crores for the period of January 1, 2020 to March 31, 2021. We will compare our performance, therefore, excluding this income of prior period. Total income is rupees 722 crores in Q1 FY23 versus rupees 709 crores in Q1 FY22, an increase of 2%. Gross profit of rupees 455 crores in Q1 FY23 versus rupees 386 crores in Q1 FY22. Gross margin stood at 63.1% in Q1 FY23. This higher gross profit is attributable to higher contribution of value-added product and advantage due to better hedging of raw material. We expect gross margin to normalize over subsequent quarters. EBITDA rupees 141 crores in Q1 FY23 versus 128 crores in Q1 FY22, an increase of 150 bps. EBITDA margin stood at 19.5% in Q1 FY23 as compared to 18% in Q1 FY22. PAT rupees 77 crores in Q1 FY23 with a margin of 10.6%. We reported an EPS of rupees 3.91 in Q1 FY23. That's all from my side. Now I leave the floor open for the question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Kapil Jagasia from Edelweiss Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a decent set of numbers in this environment. So firstly, could you please provide us with a breakup of GSPL's numbers for this quarter in terms of volume, realization and margins?
See, this is now should be considered as one business and one unit and one capacity because we have acquired this asset in order to synergize our business. And whatever ease of doing business and conveniency as well as better services, we will intertwine between the two manufacturing units to see how we can scale up our efficiencies better and deliver a better business. So we should always look this now as one unit going forward.
Okay, sir, but just for the organic growth, wanted to check, like, how has been the organic growth for us this quarter?
See, we have already reported a volume of 19.1 million together, and going forward also, we will start utilizing those assets in a better way. That's the reason we have acquired this asset, so in order to synergize. So wherever the customer is happy and can better productivity and better efficiency, wherever we can get from both this unit, we will intertwine between these two units to deliver our business.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Sir, and you have already, like, highlighted in your opening speech regarding the fashion utility and institution building, doing well, and also the salience had increased last quarter to 19%. So, like, how is the demand, like, currently for this quarter, like, with high inflation in the U.S., any demand disruption happening here? And, like, how has it been for fashion utility? The salience has further gone up, or how is it?
So, we are doing better in fashion bedding, utility bedding, and institutional bedding, as we have been making efforts for the last 3-4 years in this area. We are also making efforts in the B2C, D2C, the domestic brand promotions, as well as the e-commerce businesses. So all our efforts are how we can fragment our business better on the value addition side. And this is what is demonstrated in our results, and getting reflected there, that the efforts which we have put in towards value-added business have started bearing fruits. So the fashion bedding, we will report it in our next quarter, how it pans out when the demand normalizes, but we see positivity in that too going forward.
Okay. So my next question is, like, what is the update on 18 millimeters brownfield expansion? Is that commissioning happening on time? Like, I guess it was expected by Q2, or any deferment due to demand slowdown in US. So what's the update there?
So we have already updated in our last con call that it is on track, and we'll be able to complete that in H2 FY23.
Okay, so that is on the plans. Okay. The last question from my side, any incremental orders have you received so far from neighboring countries like Pakistan or from Austria, Dubai, with whom FTAs have been signed recently?
Come again, I didn't understand your question.
Sir, any incremental orders you have received from Pakistan, as there is some turbulence over there, the order shift happening from Pakistan to India?
No. In fact, Pakistan rupee has gone down to 240. So as a country, economically, it seems to be a weaker country. And the retailers and brands would understand about the economy of that country. And their security on the supply chain is increasing day by day. So they will always look at countries which are able to maintain the supply chain consistently. So as a country, we are positioned very well and we have performed well. So I think when you compare to the peer group, we always stand out with respect to our supply chain, because we are the largest producer of cotton and other fibers too. The raw material situation in Pakistan is saturated and they are positioned at the lowest. So I think so going forward, the country will definitely have an advantage, and since we are out of India, we will also gain that advantage.
Okay. And sir, any incremental orders from Australia, Dubai, with whom we have signed FTA? So how is the home textile market in these regions?
Yes, their inquiries have started, because as we have signed the agreement, it is still to be implemented. So between the two countries, things are getting sorted out, and by end of this year, it should be implemented in full spirit. So we are expecting inquiries from Australia as well as the UAE GCC countries, because we have signed FTAs with them. And there are expectations about the other FTAs also, like with UK and Europe advancing to a better stage, and we feel that these are important from Indian standpoint because it will provide a level playing field as well as opportunities to grow our market share in those countries.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Sir, congratulations for good results, and thanks for answering all the questions. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Bobade from Affluent Assets. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, yes.
Well, congrats for excellent set of numbers. So just wanted to understand, so what is the capacity utilization? You mentioned that you have produced some 19.1 million liters of products. So what is the current capacity utilization on overall basis? And when do we expect to reach the peak capacity utilization which we had seen last year?
See, currently we are at 90 million liters and we did 75 million last year. We acquired GHCL, which has a capacity even though 45 million liters, but the acquisition of business was 20 million liters what they were doing. So if you consider 90 million plus 20 million, it comes to 110 million liters. And since if you divide that by 4, it comes to 27.5 million liters approximately. And since we have done 19.1 million liters, it is almost 70% of our utilization. Secondly, the first quarter is always low as far as seasonal business is concerned in our businesses. So we expect this capacity utilization to improve going forward, and we all know the circumstances which are prevailing as of now. So there are so many headwinds, and we see that these headwinds are slowly diminishing. So we all expect that the capacity utilization should definitely improve going forward.
Well, if I'm not wrong, we have, well, I was under impression that we have taken all the whole 45 million liters of GHCL.
It's 45 million.
But you mentioned that we have taken over just 20 million right
No. See, this is an acquisition. So the acquisition we have just completed in this quarter.
Right.
This is the first quarter we are reporting, and they had a business of 20 million. And there are headwinds during this time. So practically speaking, if you add this 20 million business and what we did last year, which was 75, and the current capacity to 90 million liters, the total practical overall capacity needs to be looked upon at 110 million liters.
So you mean to say that they had capacity of 45 million liters, but out of that only 20 was operational. Am I right?
Yes. And this is the first quarter when we are reporting.
I agree with you on that. But rest 25, what are the constraints for that to get operationalized?
Definitely, we have reported that within the next 3-4 years, because this acquisition is on long-term basis. And we have already indicated that the revenue addition and the capacity utilization, once we utilize and sweat out this asset, will be almost like a revenue of more than 1,300 to 1,500 crore to our business. And we are also attempting to utilize our capacity. Before the acquisition, we were at 90 million and we were at 75 million sales. So we were almost utilizing our capacity to the level of 85%.
I take your point. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just wanted to understand that what are the constraints for this 25 million liters of capacity which was unutilized with GHCL to get operationalized?
So there are no constraints as such. See, we have taken this asset because there are synergies between the two capacities. And today, because of the demand situation and the sluggish offtake, we are unable to utilize it fully. Going forward, we are quite confident with the set of customers which GHCL had and which we had acquired, and the set of customers which we have, as well as the different strategies which we have adopted into expanding our business are bearing fruit. So we are quite confident and we strongly believe that going forward, we should be able to utilize this capacity. And as I informed earlier in my answer, there are FTAs getting signed where in these countries, India is having a very low market share and we are not at level playing field. The moment this huge markets opens up, we are market ready and we are able to then increase our market share and our overall revenues.
But if the situation like which we had yesterday last year arises where there would be a peak demand for home textiles, so would we be able to run our GHL? I mean, we are already running our domestic capacity, the GHL capacity to fullest extent of say 90% capacity, is producing around 40 million meters out of 45 million meters of capacity?
See, we are all hoping and we are all working towards it, as I mentioned. You know, the capacity will take some time, you know, to utilize. It's a long-term strategy. It's not a short-term strategy.
But are those 25 million meters of capacity not available for production now?
The business, yes, of course we will be able to, you know, bring about that business because we have businesses. Just because of the sluggish demand offtake, we are unable to utilize the capacity to the similar level.
Okay. Second thing, sir, regarding the inflationary situation in US, if what my understanding is that the inflation is on has reached its peak. What are your current readings on the ground?
So the inflation, the respective governments are trying to tackle the inflation, and what we hear about is that apart from inflation, the sluggish offtake is because of the inventory pileup. So the inventory pileup, as it releases, the demand, normal demand would return. And we expect that the normal demand should start flowing in from Q3 onwards. And the optimistic side also is that the holiday season is in front of us. So what we feel that the government is trying to tackle the inflation, and we hope that, you know, with the revival of the demand, things should start moving in the right direction.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chetta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congrats on a very good set of numbers considering the challenging situation both on the raw material and the US market. So few questions. First on, I think we were planning a capex of 70,000 spindles. So what's the status on that, and overall you can update any other capex for 23 and 24?
No, the capex is on track. As I mentioned, the first phase is expected to be completed by this financial year 23, which is what we had reported, and it will be operational by December, we'll start by December. We are expecting it to complete by December. So it will be operational before 23.
And what exactly you are doing in this first phase?
We are installing almost 25,000 spindlage.
25,000. Okay. Okay. And how much we are spending, sir, this year and next year?
We totally will be spending 270 crores as what we had reported earlier, and this will be spent during this year with a mix of debt and internal accruals. So the debt would be around 175 crores and the internal accrual will be around 175 crores and the debt would be around 95 crores.
Okay, so this 275 crores will entirely be spending in FY23?
Yeah, mostly.
and which will be your spindle, mostly it is 25,000 spindles capacity.
So the 25,000 is first phase, the balance 45,000 is the second phase. So overall it will be 70,000 spindles.
Okay, and this 270 crores is for entire 70,000 spindles.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So my next question on was on GHCL capacity, because what my understanding was at the time of the acquisition and the presentation then, that a 45 million fabric processing, 30 million cut and sew and 12 million weaving. So you mentioned 20 million in your opening remarks. So what's the mismatch there?
So it is 45 million only. The capacity what you have mentioned is correct. But when you calculate the capacity utilization, I meant to say, because we acquired a business only in this quarter, in all practicality, because there was a business of 20 million only, they were operating at 50% of their capacity utilization. So all practicality, I was considering that 20 million, if I add up to my capacity utilization, and currently where I am at 90 million, so I was totaling it up to 110 million because I will scale up my capacity utilization further going forward, which we have also mentioned that this is a medium term and long term strategy for the company. By acquiring this 45 million, we intended to increase from 20 to 45 million going forward. So that's what our inclination is. So that's what I mentioned.
So your, sir, 153 million meters, what we had spoken about in the earlier calls and our meetings also. So when would that be actually, you can utilize or ready capacity of 153 million meters?
From first quarter FY24.
From QY24, your run rate can be on that, based on that capacity. Obviously, the demand is to be there, but your run capacity available would be 153 million meters.
Absolutely right.
Okay. And what is the current gross debt and cash in the book, sir?
That we will provide you offline.
Okay, no problem. And sir, again, last question on the current numbers. If we were holding inventory, because what I'm trying to gauge is GHCL quarterly run rate was between 170-200 crores with 10% margin. And if I try to knock that number, then your reported margins come roughly 23-25% odd, which looks substantially higher. So was there any inventory benefit, because obviously there have been a lot of price hikes and cotton prices have been going up. So this particular quarter, were we holding any low cost inventory and that benefit has come into margins? Or these are sustainable margins of 20-odd%?
Yeah, I've been mentioning, you know, about that as a company, we are consciously investing into the supply chain. If you must have heard our earlier previous call. And as a policy, we are hedging our raw material properly. So that benefit definitely of lower cost inventory is there in this results. Secondly, the focus on the value added product has also got accumulated in this quarter. So that has also helped us to some extent. The product mix is better. Then the forex gain also is coming through. So I think in this particular quarter, our margins have bettered. And that's the reason you are seeing this higher level of margin. But definitely this margin will moderate out to certain extent going forward. But our entire focus to promote value-added product is bearing fruit. So whatever which we have been doing to in order to promote fashion bedding, utility bedding, as well as you see our B2C, D2C and licensed brand and the domestic brand promotion, are all helping the company to realize much better.
Sure, sir. So any volume and margin guidance would you like to give for 23? I used to give earlier the same, but obviously considering difficult environment is difficult, but any sense of business targets for this year on volumes and margin front?
See, as you have already answered, you know, the things are very uncertain, you know, at the moment, and they are
that's
very
why I'm asking internal targets.
So, yeah, yeah. So that's why you see it prevents me not to mislead you, you know, to certain extent. And but we are, as a company, as you see, we are focused player. We are working upon very hard and trying to be more efficient to our customer base. And our customers are also responding. As the market starts responding, we are quite confident to build up and utilize our capacities and sweat our assets.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. You know, last few years, if I can call all 21, 22, and even this year, there has been lots of ups and downs in terms of RM and demand, which has led to very different type of gross margins and EBITDA margins, right? I just want to, you know, understand from a medium-term perspective, given the product profile that we have and now we have added some part of GHCL, what could be a normalized gross margin be? I mean, leaving all the demand scenario or where cotton is, let's assume cotton stabilizes at 65,000-70,000 and demand is, you know, back to normalized numbers. So next 2 years hence or 1.5 year hence, where do you see a gross margin of the company based on the product profile that we have?
See, as I mentioned, you know, Abhineet, that we are focusing on the value-added side of the business, which are bearing fruits. And there are other areas also in the distribution channel. We are trying to scale up our operations so that we can be closer to the customer, and based on our service level, we derive advantage out of it. So all these are paying off. Now, the gross margins will be decent going forward and will also depend upon the new season. Because as it pans out today, the futures are traded at 65,000. But we need to see how the rainfall is, whether there are issues on the supply chain side due to the bollworm, pesticide, etc. So we need to wait and watch and observe the situation, even though we are optimistic about it. But they will moderate from this level to certain extent. But we are quite positive to at least sustain as per our last year.
This you are saying for the current year will type of sustain compared to last year? Or in a normalized...
Yeah, we are focusing on that only. We are trying to build our business accordingly so that we maintain our gross margin. That's the whole point, you know.
Thank you. Second thing is, right, as you rightly emphasized as well, we have invested in value-added products, right? So as of today, what is that percent in terms of as a whole revenue-wise, how much is this value-added product and what incremental margin do we get compared to a, you know, simple bed sheet versus the value-added product on that? Thank you.
See, there are different types of value additions which we do. The value addition, as I explained, is one on the product side, on secondly on the positioning side, third on the segmentation side, fourth on the supply chain side, distribution side. So there are various kinds of value additions which we are trying to scale up and bring about a dramatic change in our overall sales strategy, sales and marketing strategy. So, and that is paying off. So we are a complete solution provider and not just, you know, we believe into supplying a product to our customer. So this definitely, this solution will have, you know, better margin than our normal businesses. And definitely when you ask that what kind of margin do you get from a normal product, it is somewhere between, you know, 8 to 10% which we derive additionally on a normal product. And so you see, the entire focus of the company since the last 3-4 years has been to promote this value-added businesses. And we are getting success in that.
Thank you, sir. Those were my questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aman Madrecha from Okmanta Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. So first of all, I wanted to ask, like, in the recent quarter, So the Indian market share in the U.S. imports of cotton sheet fell from around 51% in FY 2021 to 50%. So what could be the market share currently like? Is it at the same level, or is it has increased? And like, and who are, and where is this market share shifting?
Yeah, you rightly mentioned that for the moment, Indian exports have taken a hit because of the raw material cost, and they have come down to a certain extent. And because the overall numbers look a little bit weak, our percentage level are also down as compared to Pakistan and China to certain extent. Also, because you see the raw material cotton, which has increased to this level, there were options available for the buyer to shift into different fibers and different product mix, which where India do not enjoy the advantage as such, that is in MMF. So going forward, we are confident that the way how India is positioned due to the China Plus One strategy and the Xinjiang cotton fiasco, we will be better able to service the brands and retailers, and that will give us once again the market share which we had momentarily dipped. So we are confident as a country and as a company to scale up our market share going forward, because what we also see that the cotton coming back and quoting at the level of 65,000 rupees in December futures. So this, all this, happenings going forward will certainly help us to derive a better market share, not only in the U.S., but also the FTAs in different countries will help us gain market shares over there too, where currently we are not able to gain. So we hope, we are confident that this market share should revive.
Okay. Just to follow up on the same, just, like how has been the market share currently? It has increased, or is it at the same levels, like if you have the numbers handy?
What we saw in May, it was around 53% as per OTEXA data, but June numbers are still awaited, and once that is July numbers, I feel, and once they are out, June numbers. So once they are out, we will definitely will be able to report those numbers, and you may also see some uptick in that.
And the second question on, like, if you, like as you mentioned, that we did around 19 million liters of volume in this quarter. And if you look at the realizations, so the realizations are coming at around 368 rupees per liter. So this, despite like, sluggish demand or sluggish and inventory buildup with the global retailers, we have been able to maintain the margins, or the realization. So, like, as I understood that we are focusing on the branded products, we are moving on to the fashion utility side. So, like, so just a sense, like, how is the, like, order inquiry or the order book standing as compared to last year same period? Like, just some sense on the order thing from the retailers.
See, of course, as what we are focusing on the value addition side, some of the order book positions have changed as you compared on a YOY basis, definitely, because we also haven't picked up the commodity business this quarter. Because of the raw material hike as well as the demand sluggishness, so we have left some commodity businesses. Going forward, once things normalizes, we will add up that depending upon the strategies which we adopt. So I think the margin profile which we are trying to achieve depends on lot many factors. It depends on the product mix, the market demand, depends upon what we intend to supply to the customer, depends on the raw material prices and various other factors. So being a global company, there are many global impacts which puts pressure on the both the margin supply as well as the demand. So those we are trying to tackle, and going forward, we are quite confident that we should be able to maintain our value-added businesses.
Okay. And sir, one more question, like, currently, like for example, as the yarn prices have also reduced, so what has been our, like, inventory purchase strategy? As in, like, are we on a wait and watch mode, or we are slowly and gradually acquiring and building up the inventory for the coming H2? Like, what is the stance on that?
So we have hedged till to the next two quarters, fortunately, and that will definitely pay off as a company to us. And post that, as we all see that the prices are reducing and the futures are quoted at a lower level, we are all waiting to see how the crop comes up. The sowing is better, the rainfall is better, and what we hear about that the cotton crop yield also will improve. This will help us to make available the required cotton to the meal consumers. So definitely it will normalize the prices, and that will also help us to formulate our strategy going forward for the next financial year.
Okay. And sir, coming back to my previous question, like I highlighted about the realization fee. So as you mentioned that from now I'm considering JCL and Indocon as the same entity. But like, for example, what could be the JCL, how is the realization from the JCL operations? Like, is it lower, like some broad view on the realization from the JCL capacity?
See, we are focusing on that as well, how to scale up that business to a better productivity level overall. And with the kind of customer base which we have and what GHCL have, we have found positive responses from our customer accepting this, and they look upon to us for solution today. Definitely, the margins at GHCL when what we acquired are currently low. But going forward, our all emphasis in how we can sweat those assets and make better margin out of there. So that's what we are focusing upon. And given the strategy, what our company has been following so far, if we are able to implement that at the GHCL level, we are very confident to scale up that their margin too, which will be one margin for the entire company.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Komal Maheshwari from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity. Most of the questions have been answered, but still I do have two questions to ask. So on the first question, the first question is on the capacity utilization. You just explained the calculation. So on the basis of that, we come up at 70% capacity utilization. But sir, is it fair to say that since 25 million ton that we are not using inflation concern, on the basis of total capacity of 135 million ton that we have, including GHCL plus Indocon, so on a quarterly basis, we are getting that 34 million ton. So that was giving me capacity utilization of 57 or 58%. So is it fair to say that we are at 57% or 58% of capacity utilization level?
See, technically you are right, but you have to see from a practical standpoint. When we acquired this business, see, there are two situations. One is you invest into a capacity, and one is you acquire some business. Now, this business has been acquired in this quarter, which was at 20 million meters against 45 million capacity. And we have mentioned that as a company, we have acquired this for medium term and long term, and we will build and utilize this capacity, we will build this business going forward in the next 2-3 years. That we have already explained, and the revenues from this capacity utilization will be an additional to the extent of 1300 to 1500 crore. We had already explained. Now, we are at 90 million meters capacity today. We are scaling this up to 108 million, which will happen by the end of FY23, as I mentioned in my earlier answer. Now, with all practical reasons, if you consider this 90 million and the 20 million business which we have acquired, we were again 90 million at 75 million, which was 85% of the capacity utilization. Now this 20 million capacity, which we acquired, if you add up to this 90 million, in the first quarter, if we are at 19 million, if you divide that 110 by 4, you get at 27.75 roughly, and we are at say 19 million. So it is fair to say that we are at 70% utilization as a business. Technically, you are right at 135 million.
Okay, so I do have another question on the comprehensive income. So which comes at 48 crores, which says that item that will be reclassified to the P&L. So is it, I mean, majority of is coming from the because of the foreign exchange law?
These are in respect of MTM on an unexpired contract. So
okay.
these are notional and will adjust itself into the P&L and carry forward also according to the position of exchange hedge we have had periodically.
Okay, okay. And current position of the hedge?
So I think we have delivered an exchange rate of about 78.50 around. We have realized in this quarter.
Okay. Thank you so much for giving an opportunity. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal Sethia from AUM Fund Advisors. Please go ahead.
So can you just break up the volumes in terms of how much you are from Indocom's capacity and how much you are from
sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Your audio is not very clear.
Hello?
Yes, now it's better. Please repeat your question.
So can you just break up the volume of 90 million meters into how much you are from Indocom's capacity and how much you are from GHCL's capacity?
Yeah, I have already mentioned you have to look it jointly now as a one company and one business, because you see, for all practical purposes, we are trying to build upon the synergies between the two units and see where how we can achieve more efficiency and productivity when we deliver to a customer. So you have to take this as one company now and one volume.
I understand your point. It's just that I just want to understand how is GHCL being scaled in terms of acquisition, where are we in terms of the processes, and I understand that you just said that the product of GHCL is well accepted with Indocom customers, but it's just to understand the whole process of integration, what's going and what's not going on.
And it's a long-term and medium-term strategy, as I explained, to integrate the two companies together to scale up to what we desire as a business. And definitely, as I have mentioned in my speech also, that the integration is happening seamlessly between the two companies, and the customers have also accepted it, and they are quite hopeful and very happy to deal with us going forward. And they are showing positive signs to increase their business with us. And that prompts us to say that we will be able to utilize that capacity going forward very well. And, that is the reason we have acquired this, because we wanted to be market ready when the FTAs get signed. And we are also looking at the demand increase in all major markets going forward, as home has become the center stage, and because of the scale up, like the China Plus One strategy and the Xinjiang cotton, India as a country is also better positioned, where brands and retailers are de-risking their business to a second source, which is apparent. And whenever we enter a meeting in today's world with a customer, they do mention about shifting their business from China. So those are positive signs. Also, the quality which, this GHCL unit has been making is very well accepted by the customers, and we are further scaling it up to see that how we can increase our product profile from there and see that how we can sweat the assets going forward and utilize that capacity. That's no concern for us, because we have made a strategy to see how we can scale up our business going forward in all directions, whether it is domestic market, whether it is overseas market, whether it is omni-channel distribution, whether it is brands and license. So there are so many avenues open to us to scale up our businesses, and those are bearing fruits because we have been working upon this for the last 3-4 years. And that's why you see those getting reflected in our results.
Okay. And secondly, sir, I had that if you can just give a 3-to-5-year vision, where do we want to see our end business to be in the next 3-to-5 years?
So we had already mentioned in our earlier, you know, con calls that as a company, we would like to in the next 3-to-5 years double our revenues. We have decent margins and we are working towards it. And that's part of our strategy to acquire GHCL because this had a complete synergy with our businesses. And GHCL was also operating on a good quality basis and having a good customers which were not overlapping. So there was a good addition of assets and businesses. Only thing, these circumstances today are certainly difficult at the moment, but as I mentioned, we are quite hopeful that it should get normalized from third quarter onwards and we should see our business moving up in the right direction.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. I would want to ask two questions. So first would be, what would be the percentage of a value-added product this quarter and how much margin or how much EBITDA would be attributed from that and how much would be inventory gain for us?
See, we had reported in our earlier con call that, you know, our fashion bedding business is almost 17% of our business, which is a value-added business. Secondly, we are doing 10% of branded business in our revenues, which also overlaps in our fashion bedding businesses. Our e-commerce business would scale up to 8% plus, where we have an opportunity to promote licensed brand businesses. Our domestic brand businesses, both boutique living and layers, are scaling up to 3% plus going forward. So all these branded business, distribution bases in omni-channel, etc., are providing us the necessary value addition. So as I mentioned in my earlier statement, that our focus is entirely to fragment our business, not to focus upon more commodity business, but to rather scale up our value chain and see that how we can derive better margin and provide better services. And for that, our company is regularly investing into innovation, research and development, new technology, digitization to scale up the service level to our customers, which is helping also us to see that we become a one-stop shop for our customers. That is providing them the necessary confidence. And we have performed as a company, if you see our investor deck, in the last 4 years, a constant growth of 15% on our revenues. So all these are motivating us to see that we scale up our quality value proposition, we scale up our competitive advantage, and being a debt-free company almost, we are seeing that how we can invest more into customers and markets to see that we gain more market shares going forward in the value-added business.
Okay, I think that would be great. My second question pertains to what would be the percentage of inventory gains in this quarter?
We'll be able to provide you later, but that we'll provide you also. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But if you could just give a directional sense on it.
See, as you know that there is a sluggish offtake and in order to service business, we need inventory and as a company, we have been investing into inventories. Secondly, we have advantage getting reflected into our quarter also in form of gross margin, which you can observe very well. Next, you see, in order to service the business also, like for example, when we promote e-commerce, we need inventory. When we promote domestic business, we need inventory. When we promote distribution in the US, we need inventory. When we promote In the UK distribution, we need inventory. So we have to service the businesses where we need to invest into inventory to provide the necessary supply chain security to our customers. So that's what, you know, is making us as a company to invest into the supply chain. So we are looking up to this as an opportunity to do business and to improvise our competitive advantage overall. Plus the funding of our today's business in exports is also the rates prevailing in India minus the interest equalization are at a lower end. So that is also helping us to finance the business. If I invest into say 5.5% into inventory, I get 18-19% EBITDA on my resultant business. So what is wrong in that?
Yes, completely understand. Also, directionally, since you're saying that the cotton future prices are reduced at 65,000 odd levels, but the current levels of 86,000, 87,000, the current prevailing level, what kind of, are you seeing any orders or any inquiries at these current levels? Because I think industry perspective is that there is no such order booking which is happening right now. So what's your take on it?
See, as I mentioned earlier, we are hedged for the next 2 quarters. And this is our at lower level than what the current candy price is. Going forward, as you rightly mentioned, that the levels are being quoted for December futures at 65,000. So we are waiting and watching the situation very closely, and we are updating our customers, communicating with them more and more to see that they have a full track of the trend which is following, and we take them into confidence to see how we can jointly make a business plan and scale up our business to gain their market share in their own market.
Okay. And from demand perspective, I just wanted to have a sense on, since US is drying up, US and Europe is seeing some slump. So in the coming next 1-2 quarter, apart from inventory, you know, getting the clustered, what other headwinds or tailwinds do we see in the export market?
See, as I mentioned, even in the US, the retail is doing well, only the discretionary purchase is not there. If the end consumer was doing sometimes back, the inventory built up happened because of the mismatch in the supply chain, because the goods arrived delayed post the holiday seasons, and that's why they carried up. And then the third wave of the COVID broke down the couple of months sales, and this accumulated inventory, they are getting a traction as of now as we speak slowly, and the demand is, we can see that getting revived in the third quarter hopefully. And this is for the US market. The US market do have inflation, but we all believe that the inflation will be tackled by the respective government going forward in FY24. And this year, of course, the inflation would be there, but looking at the holiday season, the demand should revive by the third quarter. In the other areas, like of course UK, Europe, we are looking prospectively towards the FTAs getting signed, but whatever market share is existing, they are all believing in Indian supplies, as India is well positioned in raw material, and they feel that because of the disruptions happening due to China plus one strategy and the cotton coming out of the Xinjiang area, their reliance on India has increased substantially, and that's what is more positive for all other countries to source out of India. Now, there are only 5 countries in the world supplying textile. The major ones are China, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh and Vietnam. We all know that Bangladesh and Vietnam do not have the desired raw material, whereas Pakistan's raw material is saturated. This leaves China and India, where China is facing the China plus one strategy and overall cost competitiveness decrease. So the advantage is India, and the Indian government has also realized that in order to build up employment, they should invest into this core textile sector. So they have come out with various schemes like the PLI, the Atmanirbhar Bharat, the Mitra Park, and the ROSCTL continuity for the next 2-3 years. So these are all signs by the government that they are taking positive steps in order to support the textile sector. And this will definitely go a long way once the FTAs are signed for the revival of market and India building up market share similar to what China has gained. So we all feel positive about going forward as far as the demand is concerned from our major markets like US and the other developed markets like EU, UK, Australia, GCC countries, South Africa and Latin America. So we feel quite confident that going forward as a country, as a company, we are well positioned and should do well.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
With this, I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me or Strategic Growth Advisors or Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Indocount Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.